Good evening, everybody. Exciting to start the new Zman in Shomrei Torah, Tavshin Pei Beis. We are now in the first shiur of the year. So Parshas Noach. We'll try to learn a sugya related to the Parsha each week. Bezras Hashem. So Ein Somchan Al Hanes is very much connected to Parshas Noach because of the Ramban. The Ramban writes that, listen, there was no question that this was a miracle to involve all of the animals on the Teva. There's no way that by laws of nature, all of those animals would have been able to fit on the Teva. There's no way physically. So says the Ramban, Yadua ki hachayos rabos mod, almost an infinite amount of animals. Omen gedolos mod, kepile, mukureimim, so, you know, the elephants and all the massive animals, and you have all the bugs, the insects, etc. So, you know, you can't really count them. So ultimately, he quotes a Gemara in Chulin that there are 120 different types of ofos, tmeim, and whatever. Essentially, there is a very, very high number of animals. And the end of the first paragraph, I wrote, Lo tachil otam hateva hazot. There's no way that they could fit into the teva, velo eser kayoteva. So avalhu nes, hechzik muat es hamaruba. So ultimately, all of these animals fitting into the teva was a miracle. So ask the Ramban the Kasha, once there's a miracle, Vim Toimar, Yasenek Tana, Yismach Al Hanes Hazeh. So once Hashem is performing a miracle to allow all the animals to fit in the Teva as it is, so why not even maximize the miracle, make the Teva even smaller? Because after all, you need to rely on a miracle as it is. So why make the Teva so big? So that's the Kasha of the Ramban. And the Ramban answers, his technical answer is similar to Rashi, that making the Teva big will maybe inspire the onlookers to do tshuva. That's his first answer. But the major answer, which is the theme of this evening's shiur, is the second answer. V'od asur osar gedola, why was the Teva made so large? L'ma'et b'neis, to minimize the miracle. Ki kein hader b'chol anisim, shebetorah. In fact, this is a recurring theme whenever we speak about miracles in Torah. Oh, b'neviim la'asos mashab yad adam la'asos. I mean, Hashem always wants to minimize the miracle in order to maximize the involvement of man. V'hashar yeh b'dei shamayim. So almost as if God were to have it His way, man would do 99% of the work. And granted, even if you always need some form of involvement of miracle, but as small as that percentage can be, that would be ideal. That's the hashkaf of the Torah. Okay, very nice. So therefore, answers the Ramban, Hashem wanted Noah to make the Teva big to minimize the miracle. All right, famous Ramban. Oh, all right. So I learned this about Ramban originally by Rabbi Kamenetsky, Manal of DRS, Rashiva of Help. So he's a huge fan of Ramban al HaTorah. You know, he went to KBY. And Mendel Blachman is a real Masorah about how to learn Ramban al HaTorah. So Baruch Hashem, I have at least a taste of that Masorah. You know, Mendel Blachman learned B'chavrusa with Simcha Zissel Brody, Roshiva Chevron, who has a sefer on the Ramban al HaTorah, the Sam Derech. So Mamish Shadilim B'chavrusa. So Mendel Blachman instilled it into my Rebbe, who instilled it into me. You can't underestimate the value of learning Ramban al HaTorah. But either way, we're talking about the major piece of Hashkafa over here. And in this Hashkafa, we quote the Drashas HaRan. Says the Ran that, here, he says, HaKdama Rishona in Drush Ches, Hashem Yisbarach V'sona L'kayim Min Hago Shel Olam B'chol Ma De'efshar. I should underline that, or that line, I'm going to underline it now. That we have a reality that God always wants to, what, run the world and let nature run its course. V'she HaTeva Yakar Be'enah. Fascinating idea. And when God created the world, so God wants the world to run a certain way. Lo yishnehu ela letzorach hechrachi. And He doesn't want to alter nature unless there's a very pressing need. And that explains, the Ramban, was the dialogue between Moshe and Hashem. What did Moshe say? That God, how are you going to feed all of the all of that meat to so many people, right? Remember when Moshe says to Hashem, why are you going to feed so many people? It's not realistic. So ask the Ran, what was Moshe talking about? God could do anything. But no, the deeper explanation of Moshe's question, what did Moshe mean? When Moshe said, God, what do you mean that you're going to feed all these men? He meant, God, that's not your style. You don't do these open miracles. How, you know, Bederech HaTeva, that's not the normal way of the world. So God, if you're going to bring meat to 600,000 men, you know, that doesn't really seem to fit within the nature of the world. All right, so a little bit of background. So we have the Parsha with some machshava. But what I want to do right now, try to expand this to a more practical realm. So logically, you know, where would this come up in a daily basis? Or can anyone think of a Makor in Shas where the Torah is telling us, don't rely on a miracle, number one? Or maybe is there an exception to the rule where we have to rely on a miracle to some degree anyway? Anything come to mind? Where you can't avoid Hashem. Yeah, you got to, you know, at some point acknowledge that you need to just rely on God. Or when do we specifically say it's irresponsible to not put in more shtadlus? Kind of like a bitachon shel. Any makoros or life scenarios coming to mind? Oh, has anyone heard about the coronavirus pandemic? Right? So if I'm not mistaken, this sugya, as AB says, has really been the discussion of this year and last year, if I'm not mistaken. So at least I was thinking a lot about it when I was preparing this year. So let's see the classical makoros, and then we'll try to make a conclusion about what, you know, may have been deemed irresponsible last year, and we'll try to figure out where we're holding now in the pandemic. Yeah, does someone want to contribute online over there? There's just some noise. Okay, Robert, we hope you're feeling okay. You feeling all right, Robert?
Yeah, as long as I don't have to move, yeah.
Okay, all right, for Shlema, my friend. Hope you're doing okay. All right. Amazing.
Yeah, Rabbi, I sent you something, a pasuk from Shmuel.
Yeah, what was that pasuk? I didn't look at it. Yeah. I saw that you sent it. But, okay.
No, it's Hashem tells Shmuel to go somewhere.
Oh, and he says I'm going to get killed if I go.
Yeah, and so let's reflect on that, right? Hashem just told him to do something, and he's telling Hashem, right?
Right, that's
and
what he's
giving him. And then he's giving him a way, you know, another way to do it, right?
Right. So very good.
That's definitely in some kanal and ace, and there couldn't be a more direct command than that.
Yeah, that's a very classical part of the sugya. We say, shluchei mitzvah inon yizokin, right? Someone who's on the way to do a mitzvah is guaranteed to not get damaged. Yet we find that Shmuel HaNavi refused an order because he was afraid that it would cost him his life. Very good. Yes, I actually didn't put those in the makoros, but that's very good, Stuart. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. So meaning, even though we assume if you're a shliach mitzvah, you won't get hurt, at the same time, you can't be reckless, right? Again, it also speaks to this tension in the halacha. Very good. So let's see the Gemara Yushalmi. Number one, in Masech Shkol in Perek Vav. Ooh, I didn't put the halacha. I forget what halacha it is. I think it's Mishnah Gimel. So Tani Shal Kesef. So there are these different tables in the Beis HaMikdash. And opinion number one is that the tables were made out of silver. And Rav Yossi responds, ultimately quoting Rav Yochanan, says, no. There is no way that the tables were made out of silver. Do you know why not? What would happen if you put the lechem upon him on the silver? They would rot. So it's not good to preserve the bread, to keep the bread fresh. So therefore, it was actually made out of marble. So Rav Yochanan argues that if the tables were made out of silver, it would cause the bread to spoil. So what's a kasha on that opinion? Don't tell me that we're concerned with the bread spoiling. Why not? We have a tradition that one of the miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash was that no matter how long the bread waited, namely a full 7 days, it was still hot and i.e. fresh. 1 week later, they would put the lechem on Shabbos, and 1 week later, it was still hot. So don't start saying, oh, well, we need to make sure that the material of the table is not going to spoil the bread. We're talking about miraculous bread as it is. So what's the answer of the Gemara? Ein mazkirin ma'isa nisim. Ding, 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 ding. And the Korban Eda explains that ein somchen al hanes ve'osin hakol shelo is apesh b'derech hateva. So we had a nice Ramban, we had a nice Drushas Haran where Hashem likes to minimize miracles, but now we're seeing for the first time in Talmud Yerushalmi now, which is explaining a Mishnah, that even the Halacha wants humans to always interact with the world, b'derech hateva. And here's the chiddush, kind of like what Stuart was saying, that even when you're already interacting with Kedusha, meaning even if the Ribono Shel Olam himself is talking to you, maybe Shmuel HaNavi needs to respond cautiously. And here, even in the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom of Nisim, the Halacha still cautions us not to be over-dependent on the miracles. Oh, similarly, a very similar concept. We know that in the Kohen Gadol's diet, so they would feed him before Yom Kippur. And then in Maseches Yumin, Parak Aleph, again, Yerushalmi, Tani lo hayu manichim osov, lo chal, lo chalav, lo beitzim, lo gvina, lo basar, shamein, lo yain, yashin. So they wouldn't feed the Kohen Gadol all these different foods. Why not? called Davar Shu Margil Lezivus, or something that would lead to the Kohen Gadol to have a seminal emission, would be kept out of his diet. But ask the Gemara, what are you talking about? Below Menan Isim Shahayu Nasin, the base of Migdashain, meaning we know that one of the miracles was that never, ever did a Kohen Gadol have a seminal emission on Yom Kippur night. So what are we worried about? What's the big deal? But again, the Gemara's response is, Amar Rabbi Avin, Al Shem Lo Tenasun. So here the Gemara Yishami takes a stand on a makor. We have not yet seen an actual source for this concept, but here there's a concept that not to test God. Torah says, don't test God. So what does it mean, don't test God? So the Korban Eid explains that this pasuk is a lechatchila ein som kanal hanes. So here we are again. We have a makor all of a sudden of lo tenasun, a new makor of the Yerushalmi. We should not test God. And that means God says, I want you to play the game of Teva. Okay, very nice. All right, let's keep on going. Another Gemara. So we've seen two Gemaras, right? We saw number one about the table of the bread, number two about the Kohen Gadol's diet. Here's number three, Talmud Bavli. And here is going to be a fascinating discussion, which will lead to a very contemporary discussion. So Maseches Pesachim, Samach Dalet Rebbe Beis. Here we go. So we know that on Erev Pesach, everyone went to the Beis HaMikdash, and there were three different groups of Jews who brought their Kohen Pesach. Right, there were three different groups. I mean, Klal Yisrael was divided into three groups. So what happened after the first group entered the Azara to bring their korban? So the gates were closed. So Itmar says, Imar Psachim, Abai Amar, Nin Alutnan. What does that mean? The gates closed automatically. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, no. No Alin Tanan, meaning we close them manually. Ma'a Ben Ayu. So what's the Machlok Tzin Abai and Rava about? Do we rely on a miracle? Abaye Amar Nin Alutanan. Kamad Ailu Ma'alu Visamchinan Anisa. What a fascinating sheet of Abaye. Abaye says like this, that we rely on a miracle. Namely, when the maximum participants of the first group entered the Azara, what would happen? The gates would close automatically. No human intervention at all. And we can rely on a miracle. So here you have an Amora allowing us to rely on a miracle. And Rava says, no Alin Tanan, velo Samchinan Anisa. So Rava goes along the lines with what we've been learning all the evening so far. Now, what are you, crazy? I mean, you have to interact with the world on Teva's terms. And therefore, no Alin, meaning man would close the gates. We would not just assume the gates would close B'derech Nes. So what's pshat, by the way, with this miracle? I mean, what's at stake over here? What's at stake? Let's say you messed up and the gates closed too early or too late. What would be the issue? What are we talking about? Anyone want to take a guess? Like, what would be the issue here, potentially? Very good. So Dr. Karp is a Litvak, and he says Rashi's halachic answer. So what miracle are we really relying on? Meaning, the gates better close or else what? So Rashi says, because if the gates don't close, we're not going to end up getting into three groups. Everyone's going to want to get in to group number one, and we're not going to have enough members of Klal Yisrael remaining to fill up the next two groups. So miraculously, what would happen? There would be just the amount of people that would happen in the first group, leaving enough people for the second group, but leaving enough people for the third group. And Rabbi would say, no, you have to manually guess or try to count the members in the before you close the gates. You have to actually ensure that you're going to have three groups of people. It's not a miracle. You have to do your hishtadlus to ensure that there are three groups. Very, very nice. Okay, it's a nice reading of the Gemara. It's Rashi's reading. However, that still doesn't make all that much sense. You know why? Because why is it okay for a buyer to rely on a miracle? Meaning Abaye is against the Yerushalmi, Abaye is against the Mishnayos and Yuma about the Kesef and about the, these are Tanaic sources we're quoting before. Right? I mean, we don't, Ein Som Kanal Hanes is not like a Achronish concept. And here all of a sudden Abaye is just saying, it's fine, just rely on the miracle. So isn't that like a Chiddush, right? Meaning that Abaye can just feel so comfortable relying on a miracle, so the Tzlach, right, the Noah of Yehuda. So what does the Tzlach say in his commentary to Maseches Pesachim? So he says, only here is Abaye lenient. You know why? Because worse comes to worse, what would happen? He learns the Gemara like Rashi. worse comes to worse, you would mess this up. And you wouldn't have shalosh kitos, right? You wouldn't have the appropriate number to divide Klal Yisrael into three groups. So what would happen? Says the Noda Yehuda, the Tzlach, okay, b'dieved, that's kosher. The Rambam paskins that if all of Klal Yisrael hypothetically were to shech the Korban Pesach in one group, it works. So that, and only in that scenario, would Abaye say you can rely on a miracle. Because worse comes to worse, the miracle doesn't happen, and you still fulfill the mitzvah. But if there was a scenario where relying on the miracle would lead you to not be yotze the mitzvah, if the miracle doesn't happen, so that would not be okay. I.e. what? Like the Kohen Gadol. So he says, in Yuma Beza Manav, what did they always do? They always had a backup Kohen Gadol, because maybe the Kohen Gadol will end up having a psul. So clearly Abaye would hold of that. Abaye would never say, oh, well, let's just rely on the miracle, because there you're playing with fire. Why are you playing with fire? Because if there is a psul in the Kohen Gadol, what are you going to do? There's nothing to... You need a Kohen Gadol. So only in a scenario where it's not really a ma'akev, where if there's a mess up, it's not that big of a deal, only there can we rely on a miracle. But if it's really urgent, you can't rely on a miracle. What a fascinating chiddush. What do you think? It makes sense to you? You can rely on a miracle, all the while that it's not that important. I mean, you don't need the miracle.
Because you're not pushing the miracle.
You're not pushing, so it doesn't happen.
Right. You're not like, so why does that fit well with the words? What are the words? Ain somchen alanis.
It means you have no other option.
Oh, so it seems like that's where he's coming, right? Somchen means I'm relying on the miracle. Here, what would a buyer say? I'm not relying on the miracle. I'm benefiting from the miracle. Because now I can do three groups. But I'm not relying on the miracle, because I could get away without the miracle. Ha. So maybe that's pshat. That's, you know, what does somchin mean? Maybe that's what... All right. You know, take it or leave it. But maybe that might... Yeah.
When Rabbi Alpert, Zal's son, had an aneurysm.
Whoa. Wait, Rabbi Nissen Alpert lost his son?
Lost his son.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And his son was in a hospital for a few days, entire time of Shiva, he was talking about his son and about he had thousands of people going through his apartment, and he said they must have gone through the story hundreds of times, and he said about his son, about getting sick, and like going, trying with this doctor and that doctor, trying everything, and he said, and then we must follow for a nurse. After all was said and done,
very good.
And then we must follow.
So AB is talking about a part of the sugya that I did not actually bring up. It's a machlokas about the following. If a doctor tells you, you know, or tells someone, Rahman al-Hassan, you will not live. You will not live. Is it then permissible to daven to live? Right? Because ain't somchen alanes. Right? So that's seemingly a machlokas. The Chazon Ish allowed, right? I don't have it in front of me, but I saw it when I was preparing the shir. I saw that question come up. And there's a major discussion about relying on a miracle. Because we know that it happens. We know that the doctors aren't always right. So that leads, again, and we don't need to see any more Makoros, because we just heard a Makor from the Gadol Milover, Nissen Alpert. So AB said that once they did all this shtadlis and the doctor said it's not worth it, anything, they still davened for a nes. So what we learned from that story is that Nissen Alpert felt that it was appropriate to daven for a miracle. And certainly that's the Min HaKlai, so I mean, I don't think anyone...
And also what you learned from that story is, unfortunately,
so much to learn from Nissen Alpert. What an amazing Gadol. You know, Rav Grossman, famous Rebbe TBC for decades, Rav Joel Grossman, Limba Chavrusa, with Rav Nissen Alpert. And when he paid a shiva call to the Rebbetzin of Nissen Alpert, Nissen Alpert's wife said, oh, you're Joel Grossman, he loved learning with you. He loved learning with you. Rav Grossman, he's a hidden gadol in Muncie and in Miami. He gave up his godless to teach high school boys. You know, he's an amazing, underrated Jew. I just spoke to him recently. All right, here we go. Let's go on. All right, so the only thing is, now here we're going to get a little bit more sensitive. So we learned a nice sugya so far, that slach, chiddush, and, you know, some lumdus there. There's a completely different way to learn this gemara. And that's actually the way I assumed Pashup Shah before I saw that we were showing him. What miracle are you relying on by not closing the gates? I thought that we're talking about trampling people. Imagine all of Klal Yisrael trying to get into the Azara to Shechter Korban Pesach in one large group. It's a Kanos and Fashos. There's going to be, and Rahman's. You think about Meiron, right? Literally, right? So the Machlokis is, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that's the Machlokis. According to Rava, you better make sure that you close the gates on time, lest it lead to danger. And Abaye says, no, you can rely on a miracle. That's the Machlokis. That it's a Nes Min HaShemayim, says Rabbeinu Chananel, because Kolomer Kevan Shenismales HaAzar Noalin HaDalatos. Rava says you have to lock the doors. Delo Lir Misu Ahadadi, lest they trample on one another. And now I'm really questioning Shitas Abaye. If Rabbeinu Chananel is right, and we're talking about life at stake, now we have a kasha. You can't do a fancy no debut to get us out of this one. How can Abaye say in that lumdus, in that reading of the Gemara, it's okay to rely on a miracle? What? Excuse me? It's okay to rely on a miracle when people might die? According to Rabbeinu Chananel, that's how you should learn in the Gemara. That even though we're talking about a potential stampede, you can rely on a miracle. And we know what people were saying after Meiron. The people were saying it was only a matter of time. It was a miracle. It didn't happen really. And again, at the time, I was not ready to hear those things, right? I mean, at the time, it was very hard for me to hear that. I mean, it was just tragedy. And it was like, it's time to mourn and cry. And it's not time to point fingers. And I remember I was very upset at the time when people were speaking like that. I was just like, it's a time to be with Klal Yisrael and Eitz Tzara right now. Months later, now we can kind of talk about this from a somewhat more halachic perspective. So you don't take risks with people's lives. You don't. Yet, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, Abaye would say, even there, you can. Wow. And by the way, you're passing like Rav, but the Rambam says, no, Alan. They would lock the door manually. So it is interesting to see that the halacha takes a stand, that we did not rely on a miracle. So that certainly fits, at least according to Rabbeinu Chananel.
What about Shomer
Ptah? Oh, so now Dr. Karp, who's a medical doctor, says, whoa, there's a concept known as living in this world. So that's what we're going to learn about right now.
That's not a matter of something or
another. Right, so there's a concept of...
You have an option of doing A or B, so you decide not to do A because
Shomer Psalm Hashem. So we know that God protects those who are living in the world. So let's try to get there. Let's just see a few more sources. Number one, it is in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah in Yerideya, Kufta Zayin Hey, writing about medical halacha. He says, V'chein Yizar Mikol Dvar Memvim L'dei Sakana. You can't do anything that will lead you to danger. Ki sakanta chamir me'yisura. Danger is even more severe than violating the Torah. V'yesh lachosh yotar l'safek sakana mil'safek iser. It's worse to put yourself in a potential danger than a potential violation of halacha. And that's why the Gemara says all these different things, etc. And then where I underlined, v'asar l'smoch anes olasake nafsho b'chol kayotze b'zeh. Wow. So Ein Zom Chan Alenes makes its way into Shulchan Aruch. It's not just a fancy Ramban of the Torah, or a Shkuf in the Drasha Saran. It's not just laced through Shas. Here it is in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch. It is usur to rely on a miracle or to put yourself in danger. Okay, very nice. So let's talk a little bit about practical halacha. So last year, my Rebbe, Rameir Tversky, was very outspoken in an unusual way. My Rebbe doesn't speak all that often. I've said in this context before. He is a genius, and he weighs his words very carefully because he knows how to speak English very well. He's a genius, and he's a Harvard graduate, and he's a Talmud Chacham Nifla, the Gaon, and he's got Soloveitchik blood, and he's a Chassidish dynasty blood. He's the man. And last year, he wrote out against those who were not taking the pandemic seriously. He basically said they were violating this Ramah.
When they started opening up, he said they shouldn't open.
Who, Rav Tversky wrote against Rav Shechter? Rav Tversky was against Rav
Shechter? Yeah,
Rav Shechter said the pandemic. Rav Shechter allowed Rav Tversky to publicize. Rav Shechter, a supporter of Tversky's view, i.e. Rav Tversky basically said that this is not a joke, and it's going to cost lives. And Rav Willig also was very outspoken last year, and he gave, in fact, the RCBC a lot of credit for closing up first, and he said that we saved lives, etc. And this is not a joke. And the halacha, or let's say the perspective of our poskim and our community was very clear. I remember when the pandemic hit, I remember thinking, okay, I'll just go to Asher Lubavitch that Shabbos. I remember I thought it was a joke. They said right after Purim, shul will be closed that Shabbos. It was announced on a Friday morning even. It was like last minute. Remember, I was in shul Friday morning. They said, take your talis if you have it home. Shul will be closed. And I remember, Anshe Lubav is not officially part of RCBC. And they were going to be open. So I said, that's a joke. I'll just go to Queens for Shabbos. My parents, I'll just go to Anshe. And by next week, everything will be normal again. And Anshe also closed. And my shul, my parents' shul in Queens also closed. I'm like, whoa, this is getting serious. All right. So at the time, people were not thinking to adapt because it seemed so crazy. And then the question became, well, when did it not? And then when people started dying, it was like, okay, like this has got to be taken really, really seriously. And then the question became, okay, well, when is it over? When is it over? And here you have a very, very real tension in the world right now, right? Because people generally assume, again, the educated Dr. Karp is with us, so doctor, you'd say the floor is yours, that doctors will tell me, and Dr. Karp is really the one who has told me, right, that if you're vaccinated, we're talking about a safe world. Dr. Karp, you'd agree with that?
Probably would have said that before Delta.
But even with Delta, though, that's the thing. Huh?
Mostly.
Mostly. Meaning we're not talking about Sakanas defunctions. Much less. Meaning, so now the question is, are we now Bedera Hateva to live amongst each other, maskless, and, you know, worse comes to worse, you get COVID and you live. Are we able to say that you're not relying on an ace? That's the question. Meaning, is it irresponsible still to ignore COVID, or is it in the category of insomkanalanes? That's, I think, really where we're at as a community right now, right? Because you walk outside in the non-Jewish community, for sure you're going to see masks everywhere. You know, and you go into a Jewish supermarket, people are much more chilled out. And try getting 300 high school boys to wear a mask in school all day when their shuls don't make the mask, and they don't even wear a mask in the pizza store, and it's a joke, right? So you're going to tell me that they have to wear a mask halachically, because they might die if they don't. And ain't something like that. Meaning, clearly, the world is not treating this right now as you're gonna only live by miracle, right? I mean, that was, you know, like two Pesachs ago, it was like viewed that way. Like, you better be smart, because if you're not smart, like, you're playing with fire, and like you might need a miracle to save you. Like, at this point, that's not the stakes. No, Adam, am I speaking too loosely? Adam said I'm correct, and he's a medical doctor for many years. So again, I think this.
Do you agree with the mask mandate now?
Yes, exactly. It's not complicated. People are also comfortable, sometimes more emotional, but ultimately, this is the sugya of this year and a half. Last Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Markowitz gave the show on Shomer Tzayim Hashem to, you know, kind of speak out this tension, and now over a year later, I'm now speaking about in some kind of aneis from a similar perspective. And just to conclude, I want to point out that there is a middle ground. There's a middle ground. And that's really what I think is the appropriate tone to conclude with. There's a Gemara in Maseches Baal Basra that says that Slovcha's daughters did not get married until the age of 40. They didn't get age of 40. Aye, but we have a tradition that a woman who waits until age 40 to get married won't have children. Meaning if she gets married at a young age, she'll be able to have children later in life. It's ironic, right? I mean, the earlier you start, the later you can go. But if you only start to have children later in life, you might not be able to have children later than the age 40. So what were they doing? Again, the Gemara says, mitoch shetzit kanios heinasa lehen neis kiyochev. Now, they were confident, explains Rashi, that they were tzidkanios. They had enough zechuyos to rely on their merits. So they wanted to wait till 40 to get an appropriate shidduch. I mean, they didn't want to settle for a less than ideal shidduch. They wanted to wait for the ideal man, and even though it meant waiting until 40 and raising the risk of not having children, they were confident that Hashem would help them through miracle. So here you have a scenario, black on white, where the Bnos Slavcha relied on their own merits. They felt like it was appropriate to hey, that was okay. And we're going to see halachic tshuva based on this soon. And again, a similar case, there was a beast, a wild, like a poisonous type of animal, that was in the town hurting and killing people, and they told Rav Chanina ben Dosa, what did Rav Chanina ben Dosa do? He said, show me where its hole is, and what did he do? He went to the hole, he put his foot on the hole, the animal went out, bit him, and what happened? The animal died. The animal died. He took it to the base medrash, and what did he say? Reubeni ain arud meimis, it's not this creature that kills, rather the chait sins. I.e., what did Rav Chanina ben Dosa do? He relied on a miracle. He went to a deadly creature.
Not a miracle.
Very good. And he understood that it wouldn't kill him. And the Marsha says, what in the world was going on over there? Ein somchan al ames. What was Rav Chanina ben Elazar doing? You're not allowed to do that. And he says, in fact, if you look at the Gemara Yishalmi, it doesn't mean that he did it. It meant that he was really davening and the snake was around his leg and he didn't stop. Whatever, it's a different version of the story. But now we have a very practical shaila of Shlomo Kluger, the Elif Lecha Shlomo. He lives in the 17th to 1800s. And he is asked the following question. There was an individual who only had a daughter and he wanted to get remarried. He lost his wife. And the only woman available was a 40-year-old woman. And the tradition we have is that a woman who has not yet been married won't have kids. And he asked Rav Shlomo Kluger, halachically, is he allowed to get married to this woman and rely on the miracle that he, because the whole point of him getting remarried was to have children. He only had one daughter and he was hoping to have more children. And can he rely on this miracle or not? Gemara Bava Basra says,
hoping to have a son for
her. Exactly. He was hoping to have a male. He was hoping to have a son. He had one daughter. He wanted a son. And Rav Shlomo Kluger says, yikach v'yikach. Certainly go ahead with the marriage. Marry the 40-year-old woman. And he says, do you know what? It's true that the Bnei Slavchad, they relied on a miracle. But he writes, lav kol hanisim shavim. Not all miracles are equal. He says there's a difference between relying on a big miracle versus a little miracle. And here nowadays, he says, we see with our own eyes that women who are of the age of 40 have children. It's common. So you want to call it miraculous? Okay. But it's what's called a common miracle. So is it teva? Maybe it's not in the category of teva. Maybe it's not maisa mechol yom. Maybe it is a bit unusual, but it's not miraculous. It's like this individual stage. So you have people who need to live b'derech ha-teva, and shomer b'shayim Hashem. You can't live in fear that, if I go outside and I touch a handrail, I'm going to die. You can't be paranoid. You have to live in the world. Hashem will protect you if you live a normal life. You can't not get in a car because you're afraid you're going to die. You have to live in the world. That's teva. And the other extreme is that you can't rely on miracles, right? You have to drive with your eyes open. But there is a middle ground that, yes, you are allowed to rely on smaller miracles, according to Shlomo Kluger. And I think at this stage, that's where we're at with COVID. It's not yet nature to forget about it. You can't just say, okay, worst comes to worst, I'll get COVID. No. Like, you don't know what's going to happen to your body if you get COVID. It's not so clear. You know, these long haulers, it's not pushit, how the body will react. It's not so clear what the Delta variant has in store. You can't just treat it as if it's the common cold. It's not like that at all. Yet, it's also not like in the category of a nace. Like, I'm really risking my life, pikuach nefesh. It's like, I think we're in the category of Shlomo Kluger. So again, take it or leave it. But I think it's a very telling sugya. So ultimately, the message that we're supposed to leave with is that Hashem created the world to be treated, and we should use the world. It's not something to be ashamed of. Hashem created the world to play by the rules of Teva, not to abuse the rules of Teva, not to ignore the rules of Teva. Yeah, but also there is a concept of expanding Teva, that we can't be too rigid. We can't allow Teva to mask the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam, because sometimes people have children in their 40s and in their 50s, right? There's all sorts of quote-unquote daily miracles, and we can't forget about those either. All right, my friends. All right, Be'ez Hashem, have a continued great year of learning. All right, see you next week, Be'ez Hashem. Have a great Shabbos. All right, yeah, thank you. I have a full shlema, Robert. All right, anything for Robert. Anything for Robert.
Thank you.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
Didn't gain too many friends for it. It said...